Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And I tell you, we continue just to kick butt with our podcasts and are doing well on our networks. I want to thank all of you who share these shows. You're making a big difference to our distribution. Please keep it up. We appreciate it. By the way, one quick poll I just saw yesterday. Over half the country says the purpose of the mainstream media is to mislead the American people. We are winning the information war. We're winning it right here. We need to get it to translate into action, but let's keep winning it. Let's get a bigger number. Let's get 90% of us realizing how much we're being lied to. Anyway, our guest for this particular segment is Colin Plume, and he's from Noble Gold, and he is an expert in precious metals. And really just a lot of things economic that are really tied into precious metals now as people look for escape hatches. And we're going to bring Colin on to talk about things like retirement, because I'm concerned, is my retirement going to maintain itself? I've got two retirements going on right now. I'm concerned about the health of the dollar. I'm concerned about a lot of things. And so if you are too, you've come to the right place. Colin, welcome to the show. It's good to have you back on.
Thank you. Yeah, Dave, and you are not alone in having retirement concerns. A lot of studies have come out. The AARP just had a large study talking about how many Americans are delaying or canceling their retirement plans and taking work on the side. And I think the a lot of it had to do with what happened in the markets last year, but there's just an overall sort of fear out there that people are going to run out of money and they're not going to have enough to keep up with their cost of living. And so it's pretty normal right now to have some fear as to what's going to happen in the future and how you're going to protect yourself and your family.
Yeah, exactly.
Going forward.
You know, there's something that overshadows what we're going to talk about today, and I just want to get it out of the way. So I mentioned it, and I'm not being neglecting of my audience, and that's Dodd-Frank. The Dodd-Frank, and I know you're familiar with it, basically says that if the banks deem necessary, they can hang on to your funds. And I'm putting it in layman's terms. In the court case, 2 years after it was passed in 2010, a court case came along in 2012 and said, yep, they could do that. And a lot of people I know that know about Dodd-Frank are really worried about leaving too many of their assets in the banks, like retirement funds, like IRAs, 401ks, and savings, because they know about Dodd-Frank and they know the banks could be in trouble.
Yeah, and it's interesting that provision was able to slide in, because if you think about the bailouts that happened when those banks were getting bailed out in 2008, and the FDIC would come in, and they'd come in on a Friday and take over the bank and take over the assets. And it would be a very fast move. And most of the people working in the bank weren't even aware what was happening. For them to be able to slide in a provision that sort of goes against that, because, the one thing I think a lot of people hung their hat on was the idea that the FDIC would come in and do the right thing and keep the bank open. And if you had assets in a safety deposit box, it was there in the savings accounts, and then they would turn it over and sell it to a bank that had a better balance sheet. And that's in essence what happened, right? But now the Dodd-Frank Act, it allows for something totally different. It allows for the bank to not go bankrupt, not for the FDIC to come in, but them to sort of creep into your savings accounts and use that to keep them afloat. And it really goes against really everything that a bank should do in an exchange. And obviously with, you see all this things happening in the crypto market and these exchanges, where they just, obviously are stealing people's funds, but this is sort of a legal way for the banks to do that. And I think keeping too much in any bank with that law out there where they can do it, does create a lot of concern for investors. And I think that's why a lot of investors have called us to move money out of accounts. And we've talked about it over years where we've had clients go to the bank and the banks have tried to talk them out of it or tried to say that, you shouldn't do it, or they've said things about Noble Gold and they try to do anything they can
Oh,
to get
yeah.
someone to not to
Let
do
me
it.
tell you my experience. I wanted to give a relative $1,500 cash, and they needed cash to make the deal on this car. And I said, sure, here, I'll get it in cash, give it to you. You wouldn't believe the hassle I went through just to pull out 15. Are you a drug dealer? You're going to have to talk to an executive. I'm serious. This is what they did to me. And I said, would you please look up my account? They start apologizing. Because we have a trust with them, and we had a lot of business funds with this bank, and they said, oh, we're so sorry. But if I would have just been a regular customer that didn't have some of these ancillary things, they were giving me a hard time about taking out $1,500 cash.
Yeah, that's scary. It's really well, and it comes down to privacy. You know, so many transactions now, the banks, the government, they want to know where your money is. And it's one of the things that people love about gold. And that's why even people that are looking for some privacy like the idea of gold and silver, because once you buy it, you sock it away, it's yours. It's not on a ledger, it's not anywhere that people are looking at it. And I think that's one of the nice things about creating a bartering society, is where it's not, you buy that car, if you have, if that buyer or that seller would have taken $1,500 in cash in silver, it would have been a real easy transaction. You could have avoided the bank. And I think a lot of people like that premise, that they don't want the bank involved in their transactions, because there's really no need, right? At the end of the day, there's no need for them to have it. So yeah, we do get a lot of calls over people are thinking about moving money in different places. And part of the reason that a lot of our clients like storage of gold, and everyone's got their opinion on this, but a lot of people, and I don't care either way. If somebody wants to store it or hold it, I don't care. But if someone called us and said, hey, I'm going to put it in the gold right now, I want to keep it in the bank, but I want to have access to it at any time. If it's in our storage or it's in the depositories, they can call any day and get cash the next day. So I think people like that sort of premise, that it's liquid. And with everything going on in the world, to have liquid assets that you can get access to is really important, and assets that anybody would want, right? I mean, no one's going to turn down gold or silver anywhere in the world. So it is a unique asset in that it's highly desirable, highly fungible, and you're not going to get any pushback for this asset
Yeah,
when you need
I want
it.
to ask you a hypothetical question because I think this will tie in a lot of our talking points. And let's say someone approaches you and they said, "Hey, Colin, I've got $1 million in the bank, and I heard on Dave Hodges' show that they can keep my money if they think it's necessary for themselves and their survival. They can bail in. What can I do? How would you go about talking to that person?"
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to, the first thing is how much of that money do they need tomorrow or the next week? Or, that's something that the person really needs to think about, is how liquid do they need it? Maybe they need some cash for things. But yeah, I mean, in terms of, putting it in gold or silver, it's easy. It's easy in, easy out, because we, unlike many of our competitors, we really only sell 20 or less items, bullion coins, bullion bars. So those are the most liquid assets that in the precious metals industry. These assets are always desirable. So and the reason we did that when we started the company is I always wanted to have a fail safe, even if, God forbid, we went out of business. Everything we sell to investors is anyone would buy. All the companies would buy it. It's desirable items. So it's really, the risk isn't, are you going to be able to liquidate those bars or coins at a later date or anything that you need? Really, it's just, the market's going to move up or down, and obviously there's fluctuations. So, your million could go up a little bit or down a little bit depending on the market. But in terms of overall risk of you being able to liquidate that gold or silver at any time, that's something that's never going to be an issue. And you're looking at, central banks right now. Last year was the biggest buying of gold in like 11 years before that. I mean, central banks have been buying gold all over the world. Even banks, normal banks, Bank of America, these banks, you've seen Bank of America come out and have these bold predictions for gold. just because Bank of America is a buyer of actual gold now. Gold's a tier one asset, so they can put gold on their books. So obviously, inherently, they have, you know, a reason for they want gold to go up because it helps their balance sheet, which is different than what's been in the past, right? I think, you know, banks really function more on just giving out loans and, you know, fees.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of those fees nowadays are kind of gone, right? They're not charging many fees. So they, you know, they look at gold in the 1900 range and Bank of America predicts it to hit 3000. That's great for Bank of America's balance book. If gold hits 3000, it looks, you know, it's going to add strength to them as a company. It's going to be great for their stockholders. And, so that's something to really, you know, keep in mind. And not to segue too much from just gold and silver, but I always want to paint a big picture because I am a true believer in diversification, and I don't always talk about these things, but Barrick Gold, you know, one of the biggest gold miners in the world, I've been reading a lot about them, very strong last year, paid out a lot to their shareholders. And I'm not a stock advisor or anything, but I would say anyone should take a look at it. If they're looking at mining, the company is looking strong. And, you know, to be forthright, I own it. I own some, too, because I like to be diversified. And I think it's something you and I have always talked about,
exactly,
is having different assets, right, and not being stuck into one thing because – you never know when you're going to need the money, and you never know where the markets are going to be. So you want to be diversified. And so that was something that I thought I'd mention. It was just as a sidebar.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer to my question. But let's break it down. Let's say liquidity-wise, maybe they could live on $100,000 a year. So should they do something else with the $900,000? Should they put it all into gold or half into gold,
well,
half into
I
silver?
Think,
what would you say?
I mean, I you know, gold is a great asset. Silver, you know, what's better, gold or silver? That's really the big question that we sort of get every day. And I think that, you know, with India jumping so heavily into the silver market, I mean, the amount of silver that they brought into the market was unprecedented last year. I mean, the amount of tonnage, I'm thinking off the top of my head, what was the amount of tonnage that they brought in? But It's 2,470 tons last year. So you look at that amount of silver that they brought in, and obviously India growing in leaps and bounds in terms of population, you know, the economy. There's so many things happening there. So they've brought a new asset class, really, for the most part. I mean, silver wasn't a big part of their national identity until the last like 5 or 6 years. It was always gold. Mm-hmm. But things are changing there now. You know, gold is still a part of, it will always be a part of their heritage because it's a gift that's given for wedding season. People give gold, they give bars, they give jewelry. I mean, it's a big part of their, you know, their wedding ceremonies are over the top and extravagant, and gold's a big part of that. So that will always be attached to them. But silver, now that they're looking at diversification, they're looking at what silver can do. Silver was a big component. And I think it has a lot to do with them just in terms of technology and where they're moving, is they see having a lot of silver in their country is an added advantage, and it gives them an edge kind of going forward in terms of where everything's going with solar,
Green Deal,
technology.
Green Deal, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I've said on your show before, but silver really is the new oil, if you think about it.
I agree with that.
I totally agree. That's where things are going.
Well, Colin, when you look at silver, I mean, it is the darling mineral of the global elite and what they want to do to transform the economics on this planet and in the name of climate change. I want to read to you something here. And I think this really stresses the need for Americans to sit up and take notice. Unfunded liabilities in the U.S., state and local pension funds, money pensions, owe money that they do not have. And that has climbed to $1.45 trillion in 2022. Now, the source for this is not to be taken lightly. It's Bloomberg, and let me just read you their quote.
Right.
Surging inflation, rising interest rates, and growing concern about a recession hammered equity in the bond markets in 2022, which shrank the assets held by pensions. What's a retiree to do?
Well, it's interesting in that quote where it says it hammered equities and the bond market. You know, how is the bond, shouldn't the bond market have done really well last year? I mean, if you think about it, the bond market should have done better. There was more volatility, interest rates were up. There's some good opportunities in the bond market. So it's interesting that a lot of these pensions were sort of struggling. Also, just in terms of if you look at what a pension needs to do, you would think that last year would be a buying opportunity for a pension of equities or bonds, but they were all struggling, all down. So they must think that this recession is not is we're not last year wasn't it. You know, they must believe that we have many more years of this recession, because I think, you know, a lot of times people, you know, when they look at these opportunities, they would think it's a buying opportunity. And obviously these pensions, these large funds, are concerned, and a lot of them have moved to gold as a big part
Exactly.
of their portfolio. So they are sort of hedging their bet, getting into something physical. And yeah, I would be concerned if a lot of my retirement was tied towards some of these pensions, and because I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with inflation, number one, and two, I just think people are living much longer now than they ever have, and so I don't think the average age on the, you know, what they calculated of how much money they need in the pensions, I don't think they factored in people living to 90, 95, 100 years old, which is becoming more common now. So there's a number of factors that make those pensions sort of nerve-wracking, from someone that has that as a part of your portfolio. And the sad thing is that typically if you're in a job that has a pension opportunity, you took less money early, right? That's the downside, is that you said, oh, I'll take less money while I'm working, and then I'll have this great pension going on. And now, you know, will that pension be around? Will it be funded enough? You know, these are all questions that I think are getting people quite nervous. And even, you know, you have millionaires, there's more nerve-wracked millionaires than ever. I mean, that's what all the reports say. And you know, there was a quote in this Investment Manager magazine talking about that 35% of millionaires say it's going to be a miracle for them to retire comfortably. So I think
Millionaires,
these are,
millionaires, that's amazing.
no, absolutely. And it's quite a, it's a new, we're in a new world, with money and how things are being handled. And so, you know, these are part of the reasons that we've had, you know, so much attention on gold and silver. And, you know, I think the dynamic of what you're holding, I think, which is your original question, you know, 20 years ago, people would keep a lot of money in cash. They would feel more comfortable there. But now, you know, I would say not so much.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and people are kind of running from crypto because of Sam Bankman fraud, and so there's another question I want to ask you though too. There's a real disturbing headline in today's news from CNBC. They're saying that consumer debt has hit a record nearly $17 trillion. How does that influence what we're talking about?
Well, it was one of the, you know, if you looked at COVID, that was one of the things that was sort of a positive, is that people, you know, they didn't want to keep up the Joneses anymore. The credit card debt was down, I think, the most it had ever been in the last, you know, probably 40 or 50 years, is that people started to sort of realize. But now I think what's happening now is, you know, even though the job reports show low unemployment, I don't think the jobs that people are getting are the jobs where they're comfortably going to retire. I mean, if you really dissect the most recent job report, a lot of it is in the hospitality sector, and you know, those jobs aren't typically of the higher paying you know, genre. Obviously, you're seeing a lot of the tech companies laying off a lot of the six-figure plus jobs. So a lot of those jobs where people were recovering, were able to retire comfortably, those jobs are sort of going away, and things are sort of trending in a different direction there. So Yeah, I think that you know it's concerning when you see that kind of debt, and then how do you keep up? Obviously, credit card interest rates are higher than before. Lines of credit, which a lot of times people would, get a line of credit to kind of slow down some of that debt that they're looking at, and those lines of credit now are much higher. You're looking at 5 to 8% interest, which is much different than that 2 or 3% interest they've been offering for many years. So,
Absolutely.
it's becoming harder. And then just the overall inflation, right? We haven't really talked about that today. Is, you look at the cost of eggs, being more expensive than
I have that
meat,
figure
beef.
here, Colin. Eggs are 70% more than they were a year ago.
Yeah. So there goes, and I saw a report where they were suggesting people should kind of just give up breakfast, which is that's a convenient sort of line for them to push out there. But I think that when you look at the cost of and the rationing and the different things that are happening in so many genres, it's really important more than ever to try and have assets that aren't going to lose significant value. And Warren Buffett talks about it a lot. He talks about how just don't lose money, right? And I think that is something that investors are really
What do you
looking
mean
at
by
is
don't lose money? You mean bad investments?
don't bad investments, right? Crypto proved to be very volatile, and obviously there's some stories there. But I think a lot of it has to do with people just being too greedy in a certain situation. When you look at I remember talking to people owning Bitcoin, and they bought it at 5,000, and it was 50,000, and I would say, well, what are you doing? And they'd say, oh, well, it's going to go to 100,000. And so that mindset is something that you have to be really afraid of. And if you do get lucky in one of those 10, 30, 40, 50, 100x investments, you have to really look at taking some of that profit and putting it into kind of safe investments. And we've seen that a lot. We saw that over the last few years. It was a big push for us, is people sold that crypto, they took that profit, and they got into safer investments. And I think it's really something sort of wise is take that risk off the table, get into something safe, and then look for other new opportunities that are out there. And I think to go back to it, I think silver being the new oil, and I just think that the upside is so high going forward
I
on silver. I
agree.
know it's
Is it true that gold will protect your assets and silver in today's market will actually expand your investment?
That's how I've always looked at it. I always look at silver as really the growth story. And I think if we look at over the next 10 years, I think it's fair to say that silver will go up 6 to 8% a year, consistently. I think it doubles in the next, 4 or 5 years, and can it potentially hit that $70 or $80 number per ounce? I think it's got the potential to do that. Gold is never going to go up that much. Even if everything, all the stars align and we hit $5,000 an ounce, which I think is possible,
I do too.
the growth for the silver would be faster. So I think it has the faster potential, just because of all the industrial uses out there. It just continues to amaze. It's just a wonderful metal for manufacturing, and there's no sort of downside. And I think when as gold becomes more expensive, silver as a jewelry option is going to become more fixated on. We saw it during the pandemic. Silver jewelry consumption and selling went up by 300%, because it was an affordable option for people that wanted something nice. They wanted something nice, and they could get a nice a bracelet for a few hundred dollars or $500, where that same bracelet in gold is going to cost you a few thousand. So, I mean, if it's going to have real gold, right? If
Yeah.
not. you can get plated or
I want to ask
that,
you a question here, and I don't know if you feel comfortable answering this or can, because I know I can't call it, so don't feel like the Lone Ranger if you have to pass on this. But, you know, we hear a lot of talk about digital currency coming, and we're seeing some evidence opening up in Europe. And you just wonder, when it comes here, what will the relationship be between gold and silver and any kind of digital currency, and will it be easy to convert? That's the thing I'm wondering about.
Well, I think the first thing that goes is change. That's what I think the first thing that go is. I think change is gone. And I've been saying that for a while. I think we had a shortage of change, or you go to places, they didn't have change. So I think that that's the first thing they're going to say. It doesn't make sense. It's not affordable, you know, all the different things. And obviously we lose money when we make the change today. So I think it's the first thing to go. Similar to like when you go to Vegas or any of these gambling, but they don't have coins anymore that anyone's using. So I think those things go away first. That's how you sort of set the tone. And then it's just going to be, well, if we don't have change, then why do we need actual printed money? So I think that's how it will go. And they will sort of slow play it into society. And I think, you know, a lot of people won't realize that once change goes, that the dollar's next. I think, you know, people today don't want to keep change, except for, you know, your kids, right? All my kids have little piggy banks and things of that nature. So, but that's how I think they're going to do it. The problem with it, besides just the overall problem of having something sort of accountable, is that you are then stuck into the digital world, and it's a bad idea, because it's really, then we're stuck towards, if the banks and all the entities that are distributing the money are all going to do it in an ethical manner. And I think that we all know that that's not going to happen.
Yes.
So,
yep.
Right. So you sort of are beholden to your paycheck company, you're beholden to your bank. Whereas now, you know, you can take it and get into other assets and sort of control it. Not having any cash in the world, I think, will create a different dynamic. And I was reading, you know, for instance, I was reading about this couple that got overcharged. I don't know if you saw this at Starbucks.
Oh, yes.
And they
yes.
bought two cups of coffee, and then Starbucks charged them $4,500. And then they couldn't go on a trip because their credit cards and everything were getting declined. So you look at that happening on a bigger scale, you know, that kind of glitch, and it can happen, right? And they were trying to call Starbucks, they're trying to get it cleaned up, and they couldn't, and they ended up not going on this trip, and it was a non-refundable vacation. And obviously a vacation is a vacation, but at the end of the day, it shows that these kind of errors can happen. And what if that happened to everybody that went to Starbucks, right? Can you imagine the chaos that could happen, that, you know, they sort of are controlling it just by them telling the bank that everybody bought $4,000 worth of coffee? The bank sort of believed it, right? Which is, you know, the whole story.
It doesn't even make sense that a bank would believe it. Except it benefits them.
Or the credit card company.
Exactly, exactly.
Or the I mean,
lawsuit. What it's is, lawsuit I mean, time. I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, how much coffee can somebody drink?
I know. It's kind of like we get lost in our numbers and lack common sense. I want to go back to this question the way I originally asked it, though. And it's this. Okay, let's say digital comes in, and you've got a good portfolio of gold and silver. You didn't want to get your cash locked up in this. How do you stay in the system of being able to make purchases and so forth if you've primarily converted to precious metals as opposed to digital? Has there been any discussion about that?
I don't think there's been a rational discussion about that situation. I do think that, you know, there are countries in the world that accept gold and silver, and I think that would have to be a discussion. There are state governments that accept gold
yes.
and silver for taxes. Mm-hmm. And different entities. So I think what would end up happening is that they'd have to pass some kind of law that the banks would be able to accept gold and silver as a currency, and that would be the way that a lot of people would be able to transact. I will tell you, though, if this thing turns and they get rid of cash, the value of gold and silver will go to, you know, a level that I don't think anyone's ever seen.
Is that why banks are buying so much gold now?
I think it's part of it. I think it's, you know, just the idea in and of itself that there won't be actual real paper money out there to be traded. I do think that sending that message out to the public will create a pandemonium. And I think the markets will, the amount of gold and silver, you know, you won't be able to keep it on the shelf at that point. I think it would really put people in a panic, almost like a bank run. I think it would do the same. It would have the same effect as that. There'd be a gold run. And so
I get asked this by my audience. Do you think if they bring in digital or some alternative money system, this is what I get asked. Do you think, Dave, that they will outlaw gold like Roosevelt tried to, FDR? And I don't think so, because the elite are so heavily vested in gold now. What do you think?
It's going to be, I don't think it's, you know, when they did the Gold Act and they, they called for people to turn on their gold. Yeah, everybody had gold. Everybody was using it as currency, and they, you know, decided that they wanted to control the market there, and they wanted to print money. Right at the end of the day, they wanted to be able to, create the New Deal and really push the economy, and so they were spending. In today's day and age, there's definitely too much distrust for people to just go, okay, I'm going to turn in my gold. I don't think that's happening, because the people that are buying gold, it's part of the reason they're buying it. They don't want the government to have anything to do with their assets. So I don't think they would have any ability to get it back. It would be very difficult. And, I can tell you this, that our clients would fight tooth and nail before they get.
Yeah, I think it'd be easier to confiscate guns than it would be gold. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, it could be. You're absolutely right. It's not something that people are going to turn in lightly. And it's, you know, it always reminds me of, when I talk to someone when I got in the gold business, is they would always ask, well, if gold's so valuable, why do you guys sell it? And it is a good question. Mm-hmm. But part of it, the answer is, I want to be ahead of the market, right? I'm in a business where I can always buy gold and silver for my family. And I do, right? I have the ability to do that. And I'm also able to see all the trends, and I'm able to pass that knowledge on to our staff and our clients. And it's a world that you want to be in because of where things are trending. You do want to be ahead of it. And I think that's the beauty behind it. So yeah, so we do sell gold and silver, but if I can keep gold and you know, we have a great month or a great quarter, am I keeping some gold? Absolutely. You know, that's the key is I'm in a world where I can see things trending. I absolutely believe Bank of America is correct on that $3,000 number for gold. And I think silver is the same thing.
Yeah,
and really with silver, the only downside is, you know, storage. You know, how much storage do you have? And so that's why a lot of our clients have a store for them, or they'll store in different locations, just because they, you know, they just don't have enough room at home.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that I've decided I'm going to start doing, this is the Hodges revelation, as I make money, I'm taking a certain amount of it and buying gold. I just do not trust this monetary system any farther than I can throw it. And mostly it's because who's in charge. I want to ask you about 401ks. And I know that 401k accounts have experienced negative growth. And that's a very concerning thing, because people lock up a lot of their retirements in this. I know Fidelity released a report where they said the average 401k balance fell 23% from November 2021 to November 22. That is absolutely huge. What would you say to the 401k crowd and what they should be doing?
Well, I think the beauty behind, you know, what you can do today is you can really look at different investments. And I think that's a perfect reason why you should be diversified as you get closer to retirement. I think that's the key, is that there's people that are retiring this year that are having to sell some of their 401k, their IRA money, and they don't want to do it, right? They don't want to liquidate those assets right now. They'd rather wait a few years when things sort of bounce back. And that's, so what I tell people is, this is why you should be diversified. This is why you should be educated. And you should be, like I do, every month, I look at all of my investments and I see what percentage I have in what. And I look at that very seriously. And I want to make sure that wherever I'm putting money, I feel comfortable about the direction. And I think what it says to me is that you can't just rely on that equity market. You know, I think we're going to have a few bumpy years here. And so you need to look at what some of your options are. And I said earlier, you know, like, for instance, Barrick Gold, you know, from a mining point of view, and I'm not a stockbroker, again, I'll say it, but, you know, being in the metals business, I know that the mining is going to have a lot of opportunities. I know it's getting more difficult to mine. So I look at those things too and go, okay, you know, I'm going to put that in for my long term and hold on to it. And maybe if things peak out, you know, that's something I'll sell and take some profit. But then you're looking at when you have your physical gold and silver, this is the assets that people hold on to for a long time, that they're really potentially even just giving to their grandkids or giving, you know, to their kids when they pass away. But these are you got to have some long-term safety plays, and then you got to have some assets that can grow quicker sort of in the short term. And so that's how you sort of hedge your bet. And it's all about the comfortability of the investor.
Exactly.
What percentage in risky assets are you willing to have? You should stick to that and don't fall in love with anything. Don't fall in love with anything. I know it's hard. You know, you read about something or you watch something, you feel like, but you should always be careful because, you know, things can change. Reports can be wrong. And you want to be careful about what you're doing. I have a lot of friends that are just, you know, all real estate. You know, all they want to do is real estate. And I say to them, I said, well, what happens if on some of this real estate that you own this commercial property, what happens if interest rates don't go back down? And a lot of the debt out there, and I can tell you this 100% true, most of the commercial debt out there is in the 3 to 4% range. And so I can tell you this, if interest rates stay above that for the next 2 to 3 years, a lot of this commercial property is going to run into problems. They're not going to be able to refinance. The banks are going to run into problems. So as much as real estate is something that's been a safe asset that people love, so much is predicated upon cheap money. And it's the truth. And anyone will tell you, and they'll say, well, I'll find a different way, or we'll do this, we'll do that. But at the end of the day, if a lot of this debt comes back to the market in 2 or 3 years and rates are at 4, 5, 6%, they're not going to be able to refinance, and they're going to have problems, and there's going to be big problems out there through the whole United States and every asset class, because commercial debt is not like residential debt. Commercial debt could be 3, 5, 7, or 10 years. That's it. You can't get a 30-year fixed mortgage on a $500 million office building. The banks don't do it. So, you know, this debt is in jeopardy. There's going to be problems. And so that's why it's important to not fall in love with just one asset class and be diversified.
Yeah, I hear you. It's kind of like you got to spread the risk out. That's how I look at it. A couple of things I want to ask you about here, though, too, is scroll down here and I'll say 2023 is expected to see continued market volatility with retirement accounts. So it's not going to get better before it gets worse. And I think that's really true. But I want to turn my attention to the market. I know you say that you're not a stockbroker, but you can't deny the trends. Is it true that if you were in the S&P and you were typical, you lost 20% last year?
I mean, I did.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah. No, I did. I mean, I absolutely, I think I was like 18, 19, somewhere in that number. Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think anyone avoided that last year, and I think that's, you know, it's par for the course. When you have negative growth year, you have interest rates go up, you have a recession that they pushed, right? They pushed this recession. You know, they wanted it. This is what's happening out there. It's they wanted this slowdown, and you know, I know that you know, Powell's been sort of, and he's been putting out different messages about what he could potentially do this year, because I think he knows that every time he's negative and he says he's raising rates, that it hurts the markets. But I do think he will probably continue to raise rates till the end of the year. That's been my sort of thing I've been saying. So I don't think he's going to change his tune this year. But if October 3rd or 4th and they have their meeting and inflation's still in the 6%, 7% range, then I think they're going to hold interest rates where they are, maybe go up, because they do have a mandate to get back to 2%. And then my prediction is they will change their mandate at 2%. That's what I believe will happen. I don't think 2% is going to be realistic anymore. So I think they're going to raise it to 3 or 4%. And then that will allow them to not continue to raise interest rates next year. Because if inflation is 5 or 6%, they can't lower interest rates. And I think they want to at some point here.
That's a deceptive number. Because in inflation, they don't count the price of food and gas, like you don't have to eat or drive to work.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. No, I'm saying that their number, the government.
Oh, I know. Right? I'm just saying that they're going to sell you on that number, and they're going to sell their economic programs based on that number, but it's a mirage.
Right. No, I agree. I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, it's not a number that I would hang my hat on in terms of what's happening day to day. I'm just looking at what the Fed is, what they have to do, you know, and they sort of are stuck at this 2% number. And as long as they're stuck at that 2% number, their hands are tied. And so that's why I believe they'll make that change.
I totally agree with what you're saying there, that because they're fighting a PR battle, not just with the average American, but with Wall Street. They're fighting that battle there too. And I totally agree with what you're saying. Before I go to a quote here from David Rosenberg, I wanted to ask you, do you encounter in your business with Noble Gold ESG, and do you get affected by those ESG ratings from BlackRock and State Street?
No.
Good.
No, we're a privately held company. We sell a physical item. And so, no, we don't. There are in the precious metals industry, there are from time to time, the CFTC would come in, depending on what type of business practices you're doing. You know, for us, that has never been the case, because we have a very sort of straightforward model about bullion items and what we sell. I think there are problems with dealers in the precious metal space. The two big problems that companies in this industry run into is floating money, which we've never done. So a lot of companies will take a client's money and they don't have the gold or silver, and they'll need to buy it, and they won't buy it for a while. And so you'll see companies, when you see reviews that say, oh, they took too long to ship, it's typically because that. Now, I'm going to caveat just to throw it out that obviously during the pandemic, even though we were locking in metals every day, I couldn't get shipments every day because they would say a shipment's coming and then the truck driver would get sick or something would happen. And so it took us longer to ship than ever.
Okay.
But in a typical world, if you buy metals from somebody, you should be getting the metals in 2 to 3 weeks. If it's longer than that, that company could be potentially floating your funds. And what ends up happening is when a company floats, they think the next month's going to be better and next month's going to be better. And that isn't always the case. And then they ended up shutting their doors. And it happens every month in the precious metal space. There are companies that do that. The other reason that companies get in trouble is they sell these coins, these semi-numismatic coins, at outrageous prices. So there's companies out there, you know, competitors are selling coins. They say that, you know, Joe Namath told them it's a good coin, or someone told them it's a good coin, whoever it is. I don't know. I'm just throwing out a celebrity.
Joe Namath.
And, I don't know. I'm throwing out a
name. That wouldn't carry a lot of credibility with me. I'm sorry.
Toby McGuire. I don't know. Who knows what, you know, who these people are. And they say you should buy this coin, this polar bear, or this, you know, there's all these strange coins. And so the governing bodies will come in and look at these companies and typically give them fines, or there'll be, heavy lawsuits for these companies because they're charging outrageous, and there's commissions, and I hate to say it, but it's true. There's 40, 50, 60% commissions,
oh my gosh,
that companies are charging. Yeah. In these strange coins. So that's really the two things that you see. So that's why, when they look at Noble Gold, the first thing we do is say, check out our reviews, look us up, read them, read the reviews. Last month was one of our best months for reviews. I was so happy. I think we had like 60 reviews. And, see what people are saying. These are reviews out there, people that had an experience with us, and see how they experienced, see how what they said about the product, see how quickly we shipped, and do that for any company. And I would recommend them to do that in any space. Is anytime you're buying anything, check out the reviews, spend time. And I think if you do that, you'll read a lot of positive things about us. So, to answer your question, we as a company, listen, it's my company. I'm a family man. I have kids. I have a lot on the line, and it's important for me that people are happy and that they get the product and that the service is good. And that's really 95% of what we're doing at this point, is just educating people on gold and silver, and then making sure that their shipments come out fast and that everything works smoothly. And then, if they ever have a problem, they can always call us back, and we're here. We're live.
You're going to get a reference. You said you're happy with the references, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. I've been advertising for you guys for years, and not too long into my advertising experience did I see the benefit of what you guys are doing for customers. So I became a customer. And by the way, I'm going to be doing it a lot more regularly now, because I said I've made that decision that when money comes in, I'm going to start buying gold with some of that money. And I've done pretty well with gold and silver from you guys. And let me just say this. First of all, your customer service is about as pushy as a windless environment. I remember the first time when I called in, I said, yeah, I talked to Colin, and I need to jump into this. It seems too good to pass up. And so we went through some possibilities, how I wanted to do it, how I wanted to distribute the money, and just the regular mechanics. And then at the end, rather than saying, well, can we prepare that for you, Mr. Hodges, and we'll go ahead and close the sale, I had to close the sale. I had to say, okay, I'm ready to go now. Okay, you are? Good, let me help you. It's the least pushy environment I have ever seen in any kind of industry. And the thing I like about Noble Gold, too, is when you call in, you don't get I'll be helping you very much. You get someone who can speak your language and who is an expert in the field. It's not, you don't get a call center. And you get real answers right away. And I've never had, in all the dealings I've had with Noble Gold, I've never had a delivery problem. I've never had a glitch of any kind. The only thing I need to say is this, Colin. Okay, we got to say this to stay legal. The FTC, although they probably didn't require Sam Bankman-Fried to say this, they make me say it and Colin to say it, because we want to be fair and warn people that past investment has nothing to do with future investment, and any investment carries an inherent risk. And that's our FTC required statement. And I'm glad to make that, because I want people to know that nothing is ever guaranteed.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. Yeah, and I think that's important to look at every investment. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think Fried had to put that. I mean, the fact that he was able to do a Super Bowl commercial is still sort of baffling.
Oh my gosh, what an unbelievable joke. Well, you know what his FTC disclaimer was? I give money to Democrats. That was his FTC disclaimer. Yeah. And
I will tell you something interesting about how, everything is sort of, like, everybody sort of knew. I talked to some people, we buy ads all over, right? And so I talk to people, and I'm always curious about the Super Bowl and what it costs and how you do it. And I can't say who told me this, but I was told that FTX paid, 30% more than the market on their ad, which is fascinating, because why wouldn't when you're spending, $8 to $12 million on an ad, you're not asking for a discount. You're not trying to negotiate. You're not trying to get a good deal. You're nothing of that. And obviously the network was happy to sort of take that. But you know, it's one of those things where, it's really unfortunate. And I think, you know, what people said is sort of true. And I agree, this is that the fact that the ad ran there does sort of make it feel as though they were condoning it as a safer investment. And I don't think that was right. I think that there should have been a lot of disclaimers there that said that this is, a high
like
risk.
Like what we have to do, what you and I have to do.
Exactly.
And it's the ethical thing. I don't mind saying the disclaimer because I want people to know we're being honest with them.
Yeah. And you know, that's why I've always told people that I don't just own gold and silver, and that's why I made the comment about Barrick's, just because I've been looking a lot about them and some of the things that they're doing. Is I think it's just really what we're doing here is just giving people education, talking about the markets, talking about money, and then people need to make their own decision about what they do with their investments. And I think that's the most important thing. So if anybody really is looking to contact us and learn more, obviously make mention that you heard us on the Dave Hodges Show, and they can call in and get free information and talk to live people.
Dave Hodges Gold.
Keep calling.
Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, and we'll send you a free information packet. And no one's going to bug you. You'll have to call Mobile Gold. No one's going to bug you.
You'll have to. Yeah. If you don't want anyone to call, just put in your information. But, if you want someone to call and give good information and answer your questions, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with the people that you're talking to at Noble Gold.
Well, I think you're exactly right. But David Rosenberg, there's two things I want to close with briefly before we kind of solidify how people can follow up on this. First of all, India just imported its highest volume of silver ever in 2022. And I always say, when you're in Rome, do what the Romans do, particularly the rich Romans. And I think that India is really providing us an impetus for this. And everyone I see, okay, I don't care if you're talking about Robert Kiyosaki or whatever top economists, it doesn't matter who they are, they're all saying the same thing. The banks are too volatile to keep all your assets in the banks, and the stock market is too unstable, and retirement accounts are floundering right now, as we've heard today. You really do need to look at precious metals. And I'm saying this from the heart, not because I got Colin on here, but I'm saying I practice what I preach.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Dave. And always, if people are looking to dive into this more and learn about what we do and how we do it and the fees and the storage, and what are the options out there, give us a call, ask a million questions, write down the questions, and we're here to help people, and if gold and silver is right for them, then I think they're gonna be happy with the way they get it from us.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but I've called so many times, I know the number. If you want to call the company directly,
okay,
it's 877-646-5347. And listen, you're going to get people that all they want to do is answer your questions. And if you decide to make the move, it's going to be totally your choice. You will not be pressured into it. And I explained my first experience with Noble Gold, which was just baffling to me because they were so polite. I could not, because usually I've dealt with other gold places, Colin, and I'm not going to mention any names, obviously, but it was like, well, let's hurry up and get this done. The gold's going to go up tomorrow. Hurry up. Come on, do it now. And that's the approach I had. You do not get that at Noble Gold. Also, too, you can get it directly from me because I send out information packets for Noble Gold, and they will not bug you. You have to take the initiative to call them if you like what you see. And all you got to do is go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Or you can call the number, like I said, at 8 – I'm sorry – what's your pre? Is it 877-646?
877-646-5344.
I didn't have it in front of me. I've called it so many times. I should never have a brain aneurysm over something like that. But listen, I have to tell you, Colin, your people are going to be hearing from me in 2 weeks when I'm back home in Maricopa County, and we're going to be doing more because I do not trust the banks. I do not trust the market. S&P is a disaster right now. There's only five corporations making money. So yeah, I'm getting out of that altogether. Now some of the stuff is long term and I don't have a choice, but with my discretionary income, I'm buying gold and silver. One last question. Is palladium and platinum still good? We got
Palladium, man,
15
today.
seconds.
Yeah, palladium's up $80 today. I think it's at a good price.
Okay, all right.
Platinum is a bargain. So yeah, these are two metals that call us and we can dive into
Okay,
more
very good.
on
Well, our
future calls.
guest here has been Colin Plume of Noble Gold, and you got a good economic report today, and there's one shining star in the sky, and that's precious metals. So I hope you take advantage of it. DaveHodgesGold.com. Colin, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Thanks,
Take
Dave.
care.